Welcome, my friends. A post-Christmas episode of Huntsville Home Video coming at you. You thought the presents were done. Nah, fam. We got more presents for you.
We found one stocked away that we were hiding.
Yep. And it's a new episode of Huntsville Home Video.
Hooray.
And joke's on you, fucker. No gift receipt.
You can't take this one back.
Right?
You're just going to have to sit in this.
I would like to imagine in the world that I live in, at least one of the baker's dozen yesterday was hanging out with their family, miserable, tired of hearing about fucking politics, just thinking, God damn it, I wish this fucking day would be over so I can listen to a new episode of Huntsville Home Video. I want to listen to Jack and Leanne talk about one more Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Talk about a story better than Jesus.
Yup.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's fucking do it. One more Christmas flick to wrap up December. I'm not going to lie, Leanne, I think you will back me up on this. We came out hard with Violent Night.
We did.
That movie was an absolute fucking banger.
Oh my God. You can rent it now.
I know. I saw that today and I was like, I'm just going to fucking buy it.
I'm gonna buy it too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was so good.
Yep, worth it.
We followed that up with a Christmas Story. Meh.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Can we talk about that one for just a second?
All right.
Because I noticed an error here.
Oh.
And I never fixed it, and I meant to discuss it with you. It's not a Christmas Story. It's a Christmas Story Christmas.
Oh, whatever.
And we said it wrong. It's labeled incorrectly. Don't give a fuck.
It's canon now, bitch.
It's canon now that it's a Christmas Story.
We'll call up creepy adult Ralphie and be like, yo, fam, change the name of your fucking movie. Because we said it this way.
Cater to us.
And that sounds better.
Sure.
Than
it doesn't, but sure.
It does. Just go with it.
So, yeah, it's not a... I saw that the other day, and I was flipping through HBO Max, and I was like, oh, wait, hold up, fam. Oops. And I was like, fuck it. It's there now.
The movie was so underwhelming. We called it by the wrong thing and didn't catch it till 3 weeks later.
I liked it more than you did.
You did. You did.
But I did not pay attention to the finer details.
Do you remember anything from that movie?
I remember that Ralphie finally makes a good Christmas for his family.
Okay.
And he writes a great paper.
He does.
About his dad.
That's about it.
Uh-huh.
And then all the stuff that happened in the first movie, they just do that again.
Sure.
Yeah. And then... We followed that up with Scrooged. We did that last week.
Yeah.
Got a little Bill Murray in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Rebound a little bit. We'll see how we end the holiday month with a movie featuring a known commodity here at Huntsville Home Video, one Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of his entire catalog. You've seen many number of films.
I tell you what, you just can't pull me away from the TV when something's on. You know what
I mean?
And
it's
always been that way.
Yep.
You know? And I am like, when is my next chance to view more Arnie?
From a very young age, when you're just wee, itty bitty.
Right.
And you watched Arnold Schwarzenegger movies growing up.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Just in front of the TV all the time. Like, where's Arnold? You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. Which amazes me that you've never seen his holiday entry.
I know. Wild, right?
Crazy.
Like, what a weird scenario we find ourselves in.
But here we are.
Holy shit.
At Huntsville Home Video, introducing you to a rare Arnold Schwarzenegger film that you've never seen.
I know.
Crazy.
Like, wow.
Crazy.
Like, mind is blown after Christmas.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arnie Does the Holidays in Jingle All the Way. That is the flick we're talking about today. A little gem from 1996.
Ooh.
The year before I graduated high school.
I was six.
You were 6 years old. By this point, you had already seen Terminator 2.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And like all them recalls, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
All. Yo.
Hey.
Hey, you know?
Three titties, all right.
Yep, all those.
God damn it.
Yeah, and the predators and shit.
Yes, and the predators. Can't forget the predators.
Can't forget them shits.
Nah, but you know what? We're not here to talk about all those movies of Arnold Schwarzenegger's that Leanne has seen. We're here to talk about the one that she hasn't.
The only one.
Correct, yep. Literally every other film in his filmography, Leanne Foster has seen, which makes scheduling an Arnie flick incredibly difficult on this podcast.
I threw a wrench in the plans.
I mean, because you've seen them all.
There's nowhere to go except for this movie.
Yep. Literally, like, just marking them off. Commando, seen it. What about Raw Deal? Seen it.
Conan the Barbarian?
Mm-hmm. Seen it.
Yeah.
We're going to have an entire quarter of 2023 just devoted to Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, I think.
Why would we do that? I've seen them all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Crazy. Silly me.
Dumb bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I really am. I'm all a tizzy with the Christmas spirit.
Get yourself together. That was yesterday.
Well, whatever. It's residual. It's leftover Christmas spirit.
You can't just squish that out.
Nah.
No.
You know, just celebrating the birth of the Riz. You know, just fucking, yeah, all right. Jesus. Let's fucking do this. Happy holidays. Everyone's in a mad dash to return their gifts that they didn't want.
Thanks for dying for our skins and still making our lives miserable.
For our skins.
I meant sins. Whatever, it's the same shit. I meant sins. I'm not good with words, which is tough as a content creator.
It is. Oh, I'm so glad you've embraced the term. Man.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you for influencing my decision to press play on Huntsville Home Video today.
God damn it.
Jingle all the way. Let's get into it. This is the last of the Christmas bunch of flicks that we'll be watching. It is, like we said, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. We've got Sinbad in this movie.
I forgot he was in it.
Because you've never seen it.
Because I'd never seen it, obviously.
Yeah. The late, great Phil Hartman.
Yes, I didn't know he was in it. That was a surprise.
Okay, all right. And then fucking Jake Lloyd. That kid sucks.
Little Anakin Skywalker?
little Anakin Skywalker.
Yep.
Man, that kid's in it too.
Yeah, you know, he was such a cute kid. And then I looked up a photo of him now, and it's unfortunate.
He didn't
carry his cute little looks.
Nah, sure didn't. Sure.
Didn't.
I had the same problem. I was a super cute kid, grew up into just like, what the fuck is this adult?
That's not true.
No, I was a super cute kid. That is true.
I believe that part. I'm saying you're being hard on yourself now.
No, I'm not.
You're average white guy.
I am average white guy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm knocking on the door of average, but as a kid, holy fuck, I could have been a kid model. But then thankfully I wasn't because someone probably would have fucked me. And I don't want that. I had a normal childhood.
I'm glad I wasn't pretty enough to get fucked.
Yep. Exactly.
I can't.
Happy holidays.
That was really funny.
But yeah, like Jake Lloyd, I forgot. I kind of forgot he was in this. And I just remember,
Who?
You know, Jake Lloyd. When the little kid.
Oh, is that the kid?
Yeah,
okay.
That's the kid. And so when he became Anakin Skywalker, apparently that went to his little 10-year-old brain.
Of course.
Because there's all these stories around that he was just like, he was a fucking nightmare to deal with after Anakin Skywalker. He's like, I'm going to be a big fucking star. I'm going to be Darth Vader. And like just worked his way out of Hollywood, basically.
Ooh, yeah. That's unfortunate.
Uh-huh.
That's what you get.
That's what you get, man. Keep your ego in check, kids.
That kid probably should have gotten fucked. It would have put his ego down a little bit.
I mean, it might have.
You know? Might have straightened him out.
I love how I wish the Baker's Dozen could have seen the look on your face. You visually made your face go, oh shit, I've gone too far. I need to pump the brakes.
We know I don't mean that. But
you got yourself into a kid diddling corner
and
you had to work your way out of it.
I did.
God damn.
Oh shit.
So anyways,
jingle all the way.
Jingle all the way, Leanne Foster. What did you think of our last Christmas film of the year?
I mean, it was cute.
Right?
It was cute enough. It's a good little family flick, you know? I enjoyed it.
So, like it's super disposable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I wouldn't consider it a classic by any means.
No.
There's not a lot of great quotes in it.
Nope.
But it's serviceable.
It's fine. It's comical. There's something about me in all of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies that I've watched. There's something about me that definitely loves seeing Arnie as a family man.
Right.
Because it's so unbelievable that it's slightly believable, but
correct,
it's not believable at all.
Yeah.
I'm just like, like him domesticated with like a wife and like a kid to provide. I don't know why. I'm just like, I don't find this believable.
No, nothing. No. Like I buy the Turbo Man shit at the end more than I believe Arnie is a family.
Exactly.
Man.
But I still enjoy watching it on TV.
Oh yeah.
It's still like a fun little anomaly that I like to watch.
There was this weird paradigm shift in like the 80s and 90s. And I think it kind of started with Die Hard, because Die Hard made just the Joe Blow average guy the mm-hmm. action hero.
Yeah.
So now all the action heroes are becoming sort of obsolete by Hollywood standards, because mm-hmm. now you've got people like Keanu Reeves starring in Speed, and you've got, you know, all these like Joe Blow dudes
right.
being the roles that Schwarzenegger and Stallone mm-hmm. and like Van Damme all had. So now you had people like Stallone and Schwarzenegger moving into like everyday dudes.
Correct.
And you're like, no, this doesn't work.
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
But I do like it, but I don't believe it.
Right, yeah.
I like it, I don't believe it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something odd about a former Mr. Olympia. Now, granted, that's not his character, but
correct.
Still, he carries that with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so I don't buy Mm-mm. you in the burbs.
No, I don't at
nah.
all. You're supposed to be on yachts fucking bitches. Like,
yep.
You're not supposed to be in the burbs with
nah.
Tom Hanks's wife.
No, no.
No.
Nah.
Wasn't that her?
In the burbs?
No.
Oh, in the movie.
Oh,
yeah.
In the movie.
Well, because I thought you were talking about The Burbs, the movie with Tom Hanks.
Oh, that's funny. Like, I know movies.
I
dumb fuck.
Should have fucking known. Silly me.
I meant it literally.
Well, there is a movie called The Burbs.
Well, I haven't seen it, you dumb shit.
Putting it on the list.
We started a whole podcast because of this. How fucking dare you assume?
Fucking grouchy
ass. How dare
ass.
You assume?
I don't know. Almost 3 years in, clearly I'm
you
fucking
You think you'd
up.
Learn.
Nope.
You ain't.
Mm-mm. I haven't. I have not. Yes. That is Arnold Schwarzenegger as just an everyday working schlub.
Correct. And who's answering phone calls. He's a salesman.
Right.
Was it mattresses he sold? What did he sell?
He was selling mattresses.
It was mattresses, wasn't
yeah.
it? And yeah, him telling everybody, you're my number one customer. I'm like, mm-mm.
I thought, how many salespeople say that to everyone?
Oh, for God. For
you,
real.
You know them.
They're all the worst, because all the salespeople are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but you are. And you make my life a living hell every day.
Also, my thought about Arnie is just this workaholic mattress salesman. Like, when the fuck you find time to work out, bro?
Exactly. You should have, the more you work, the pudgier your body should be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's how that works.
That's right.
Exactly.
What did you think about the setting of this movie?
What do you mean? At Christmas?
It's like the geographical location.
Oh, Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Look terrible.
It does.
Don't want to go
doesn't
there.
Doesn't it?
0 out of 10. Yeah. Ghetto as hell. Do not yep. recommend.
Uh-huh.
No bells.
No bells. Sorry, Minnesota. Not nope. on our tourism recommendation
Ain't
list.
Going over there. Ain't going over there. It's where Mall of America was at, right?
Yep.
Where is that at?
That is in, it's in a town called Bloomington, which is just right outside of Minneapolis.
How far is that from North Dakota?
So we are about 3.5 hours from there.
Okay.
That is the closest, quote unquote, big city to
sure.
Fargo. So
that's what I thought.
We would spend a lot of time going to Minneapolis for things, which is like put a geographical equivalent on it. That's like the drive from Huntsville to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And made that drive numerous times.
Right.
Didn't like it. Hated it. Because there's nothing, fucking nothing to look at between Fargo and Minnesota.
That's got
to
be eerie,
too.
It's like, if there's a problem, where do you go?
Nowhere. In the ditch.
Mm.
There's a stretch that's about, if you're going from Fargo to Minneapolis, there's a stretch as you get about an hour out of town where if there's bad weather, it is super bad. Like if it's wintry, blizzardy conditions, mm-hmm. the roads immediately get snowed over, iced over, and it just sucks. Mm. Did not miss that at all. Mm. This movie in particular holds a special place in my heart, though, because I had no idea this was happening, but I was with my family in Minneapolis when they were filming Jingle All the Way.
Are you in the movie?
No.
Can't find you?
I don't think so, because in the scenes, we were at the Mall of America while they were filming. And there were signs everywhere. Like, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Because, like, in the areas where they were filming,
uh-huh.
you had to keep moving.
Okay.
Because they didn't want anyone just stopping on the upper levels going, is gawking over the corner. Is that Arnold? Where's
right.
Arnold? Where's
right.
Arnold? They wanted it to look like a normal
mall
yeah. at Christmas time, right?
Wow.
And it was not at Christmas time when they were filming this, obviously.
It was probably in the middle of the summer.
They filmed this in April.
Okay.
Which is still, like, Minnesota still looks like that in April.
Oh, well, then definitely fuck Minnesota.
Yeah, 0 out of 10.
That's 0 out of 10. Ghetto, do not recommend.
But yeah, we would, when we found that out, I was, of course, at this age, 16, 17, super big fan of action films, big fan of Arnold. I'm like, I want to catch at least a glimpse.
Sure.
And so the little area where they were doing that particular filming, it was in like one of the center areas of the mall where you're just like walking around this, you know, this mm-hmm. big circle on mm-hmm. any level. So we couldn't stop. And there were basically people in position just outside of where the camera would have picked up mm-hmm. to ensure that people were moving.
Right.
So I would just walk around in a constant circle for like an hour.
You were like a shark.
Uh-huh. I would walk to the escalator, go down the escalator, go back up the escalator, walk around.
It's smart. I would have done the same thing.
Right?
It's so good.
And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking cool as shit. Where's Arnold? Never saw Arnold.
Damn it.
Don't know if they were just doing some pickup shots or whatever, but never saw Arnold on that day. But in the movie, when the movie finally came out, I mean, clear as day, I remember, because he at one point he runs through the Lego store.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where they were at when they were filming that day. And they filmed for a few days, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
With what they were filming, he wasn't there. But I remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, because that's a spot in the Mall of America that I've been to. And, oh, I remember this. And, oh, this thing.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
Just other random Minneapolis, St. Paul landmarks. They shot at a few different locations throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just being in there for the Mall of America was kind of dope. And, yes, I have watched that movie several times looking for myself.
I figured you had.
Never found me.
Because I was getting ready to say, well, I'm going to look again. And I'm like, Jack would have found himself by
oh,
now.
Yeah. Oh,
he'd
yeah.
have. I can just see you just pausing with a magnifying glass. Like, where am I?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I did. Like, I did when that movie came out on video. I rented it, and I'm like, ooh, I remember this scene. They were filming. I don't know if Arnold was in it, but they cut, you know, things different ways and, mm-hmm. and this and that. I was like, no, not me.
Oh,
not me. Nope.
What color was your shirt?
Fuck, I don't even remember.
Oh, Jesus, Jack.
But I was like, I would have been with my brother at the time, who was a fat blonde kid. So if you were,
oh, that narrows it down.
So all I was looking for was like a rail skinny black haired kid walking next to a fat blonde kid walking around looking like the number 10, just trying to find. I'm like, where is he? Where is he? Like damn near albino he was. I was like, no. That's a combo that sticks out.
I'm sure it does.
But it was also odd because a lot of the people who were actually extras in the movie or who were in the movie, like during that scene in the Lego store, they were all dressed up in winter clothes. And yeah, it was still, you know, it was getting to be springtime, but mm-hmm. still a little chilly.
Right.
But there was so much Christmassy shit around in April. You know, mm-hmm. we're like, what the fuck is it? Oh, they're making a movie. That's pretty fucking cool.
Wow. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you didn't get to see Arnie.
Yeah, I was super bummed by that. There was also a couple other locations from the movie where they filmed at, the scene where he walks up to the diner.
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual diner in
that looks super cute
in downtown St. Paul. And I was like, oh fuck, I forgot all about that place. And when I was rewatching the flick, I googled it and it says that they're closed, which is a bummer.
Damn.
Because
it's like a dining car. It's super cute.
Yep. The radio station, that's a thing.
Mm.
But yeah, it was kind of cool when I was 16 to know that Arnold Schwarzenegger filmed a movie in Minneapolis, which was the biggest film production in Minnesota at that time.
Sure. Who else wants to go there?
Fucking no one. there was actually a Planet Hollywood in the Mall of America. I think that was part of Arnold's coming to town to, you know, oh, we'll open up a Planet Hollywood and I'll make a movie here.
Sure.
You know, get some money floating into the economy or some such bullshit.
In a place where people shouldn't even be.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weirdos.
Uh-huh. Mm. But what is funny to me is I can tell when they're filming this movie not in Minnesota.
Sure.
Versus like, oh, yep, that's definitely Minnesota. Oh, that's definitely a soundstage in California.
Okay.
Like that whole parade sequence in the end, that was on the Universal back lot in Hollywood.
That makes sense.
Because I've been there too.
You know why? Arnie didn't want to be out in the elements.
No.
In Minnesota.
Nope, he sure didn't. He probably did not.
I guarantee you, not.
Uh-huh. 96, Arnold is still, you know, he's still pretty high caliber.
Correct.
He doesn't need to be putting up with that bullshit. Mm-mm.
He don't need to do that. It's going to be on his terms.
And what's real weird is, I don't know how much you noticed this, but this is just like a detail that I catch.
I'm sure I didn't.
So, you know, in the exterior shots of that movie where you see just like an overhead shot of him like driving across the bridge or whatever, there's still like snow and everything. So, I mean, it looks like it could be, you know, wintertime or whatever. That is still snow that is left over from the winter that hasn't melted yet. And it's super brown and gross and it doesn't look like the vibrant film snow.
Not the powder snow that
we're
used
to. That's snow with road salt and dirt and mud and probably the remnants of a couple car crashes.
Sure.
You know, like winter snow in that part of the world.
Did they brighten it up for the movie?
No, they didn't. Like if you just go back and like just fast forward like a couple scenes where, you know, they're filming establishing shots, whatever. Just look at the side snow and it's just gross.
Okay.
And that's what it looks like the day after it snows in North Dakota and Minnesota for fucking 8 months out of the year.
I'm glad it's still beautiful in the South when it finally melts. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's still pretty.
Oh, it's like, oh, it snowed. It's beautiful. And then 12 hours later, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yep.
You know, we're thankful.
We are.
But it's gone.
We love the South for its winters. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's a little bit of the backstory behind why this flick is
like
a little bit special to old Jack Spade.
It would totally be special to me for the same reason too. Like, you walked where Arnie walked,
right?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arnie's that kind of an actor or a celebrity to where that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day, Arnold would be one of the few people I would geek out if I ever met, and I would completely stammer and not know what to say.
Like, you don't geek out at everything already?
I mean, I geek out about a lot, but there are a lot of famous people that I could meet, and I'd be like, oh shit, what's up, man? I loved you in this thing. We talked about it on episode 125 of Huntsville Home Video. Here's a card for my podcast. Check me out, though.
To the website.
HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding, 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 ding.
I like that you still did it because it's still a Christmas movie.
It's still a Christmas movie.
That's fine. Yep. I will allow it, and I'm glad for it. I got one more week in that.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. There are certain people that you could meet and carry like, oh, yeah, what's up, dude? But then there are others where it's like there's nothing.
I remembered the movie.
Chopper!
Yep. Like that old Chris Farley bit on SNL when he's interviewing, you know, all these famous people. I don't know if you've ever seen this bit.
I don't think I have.
But it's super funny. So like there's one where he was interviewing Paul McCartney.
Uh-huh.
And so he's basically like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney. And they're just sitting on a couch and he's got his paper and he's like, remember, oh man, remember that time you were in the Beatles?
Yes.
I remember. He's like, that was awesome.
That's adorable.
He's like, thank you. He's like, yeah, no problem. hey, so when you sang the lyric, the love you make is equal to the love you take, is that, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, I think what it means is the love you make is reciprocal, and it comes back around. It's the love you take. Okay. How much? Fuck, stupid. So stupid. I'm messing this up. And there's a whole series of those. He does that like 4 or 5 times.
That's amazing.
That would be me around certain people.
Understandable.
Arnold being one of those people.
Okay, I understand that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would be too, since I've seen all of his movies now.
Every one of them except for this one.
Well, I've seen it now. But now so technically it counts.
So yeah.
So now 100% got it. And the special editions.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can't forget the special edition.
The director's cut? Yeah.
Get them all. All them alternate endings? I know them.
I knows them.
Goddamn. Well, do you want to get into the finer points of Jingle All the Way?
Sure. We're introduced to Turbo Man. That's the best name we could come up with, Turbo Man.
Right.
But it's Turbo Man and his sidekick, Booster.
No one likes the sidekick.
No one likes the sidekick. What is he? How did he get that for a sidekick, this pink wolf thing?
I mean, traveling the galaxy, you meet different people.
Well, it's Power Rangers on bath salts is how I described it.
It kind of is.
And Turbo Man has turbo time with gadgets and gizmos, and he saves the kid in the show, and he saves the day. We're watching his movie or his TV show, okay? And we meet little Anakin Skywalker. And his dad is Howard, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is very busy. He's a salesman with numerous number one customers who is unfortunately always working and missing things with the family, including the kid's karate belt ceremony. So sad. You took karate, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah? What'd you get to?
Not far. I got super distracted as a kid. Like I was into a lot of things for a short period of time.
Understandable.
And I was like, I just want to be a black belt. And they're like, well, you got to earn it, and you got to have discipline, and you got to do all these things. And I'm like, nah, I'll just go
How
by.
About you give me that yellow belt, and I'll get some fabric. Die.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make myself a black belt.
Yeah.
Bitch.
No, I was probably in just like basic bitch karate for like 2 or 3 years, maybe.
I did an after school karate that was at the school. Some dude who kind of reminded me of Steven Seagal came in.
Oh, God.
And he was like going to teach us karate. And one of the first exercises was to like, there was like a row of chairs and you had to like lift your leg over the chair and then like hop down it. Like, keep your leg up over the chairs, and I knocked over the whole row of chairs.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm not coordinated for this. It was a rough day for old Lily.
Aww.
Yeah, I was like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
That's fair.
I ain't fighting nobody.
That's fair.
If so, I'll just body slam them. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll throw this weight around, throw this frame around.
I did pass when we had to break boards. I kicked through a board and passed that test.
That's awesome.
And then I think growing up a little bit later, you realize, oh, that's just like super cheap wood.
Right. It's like press board.
That's balsa wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but for a moment there.
Thought I was a bad motherfucker.
You're breaking necks.
Yeah. I started putting it together because like around this time is when I got into skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do these like jump kicks or not jump kicks, like jumps and then land on the board. And I'm like, wait, if I'm strong enough to kick through a board, how am I not kicking through my skateboard? I think that wood might have been bullshit.
Don't you love it when your brain finally starts to work? Like, I always took way later because anything you gave me, I was just like, okay, that's truth. And I moved along. And then slowly over the years, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
There it is.
No, but at least for that moment, you felt good.
Right.
Yeah. So he misses the ceremony, but don't worry. Phil Hartman is here. He is the ladies' man. He's single. He's the most sought after bachelor. And I love all the women are like, well, you're Mr. Fix-It. It's like, I'm sure I have the right tool to fix that. But Ted really is after Liz, Howard's wife. There's a little bit of tension going on in there. So
also, in the 90s, were you ever around family that had a camcorder at every fucking event?
Oh, yes.
Were you that family?
No, we weren't. It was my aunt. She had a camcorder and she had the latest camera, whatever it happened to be, however bulky it happened to be, with the biggest zoom lens. And she was the queen of one more. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Camcorder in your face.
Jesus.
We have to film this. And then everybody hates everybody in my family now. So nobody knows where these tapes are. So that's been really great.
That's fun.
Christmas. What about you? Like, did you have somebody in your family with a camcorder?
Not really. But a buddy of mine who lived like two houses down from me growing up,
mm-hmm.
his dad was into all that shit, like tech everything right. for 90s tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was like one of the first people to have a cell phone that I'd ever seen, like the big, super big, bulky ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd have a camcorder, and every time we'd go over, you know, if we were like playing out in his backyard or whatever, he's like, "Oh, let me get the camcorder out and video you guys playing baseball." It's like, why?
Right. Oh, he's selling that to a black market.
Somebody's
jerking off to that shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then as, you know, you get older, you know, you get into like junior high, high school, mm-hmm. you're like, "Hey, bro, I think your dad used that when he fucks your mom or goes to a swinging party or whatever."
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. You know, we did have a camcorder that I still have, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one of those old bulky ones that went to tape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the tape that goes into it.
Man, imagine
see if there's anything in there.
Imagine the horrors you could find that.
I do. I was in all the school plays, and I do remember like looking and just the rows of dads in the back with their cameras like on tripods and shit.
Yep. And now to think it's all just on your phone.
I know.
Like,
how many concerts do I have in my phone?
The right best now? Camcorder that has ever existed is not as good as our phones.
Correct. It's a wild world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And your arm don't hurt as much.
No.
Holding that heavy much.
You don't have to worry about the 2-hour battery life those things had. You had to carry like 3 extra batteries with you.
Nope. God, that's so, memories. That somehow they're worse times, but they're more nostalgic.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
Weird. Anyways, Ted is there. And I do love him as Ted throughout this movie. He's really great. And he's putting up lights on Howard's house. What a big no-no.
You don't do that.
That's fucked up. It's like mowing a man's lawn. You don't mow another man's lawn.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
Is that from The Burbs?
No, it's from Batman. Jack Nicholson. I see what you did there.
I don't remember that quote, and I rewatched that movie. Let's see. So what are we doing? Okay. So then we cut into the house. Everybody's mad at Howard, but Jamie's living good. Like, this kid's living good. His room, awesome. Was his room not enviable to you?
Big
Captain America?
The Captain America mural?
Holy shit. I was like, that's got Jack Spade written all over it.
I would have loved to have a wall mural when I was a kid.
Oh, my God.
That'd have been dope as fuck.
I didn't have a wall mural either. One time, my mom did make me a 101 Dalmatians room.
Yeah?
And two walls were red and two walls were blue. And then it's like those big stickers of the Dalmatians. Throughout. And then my Mimi made me curtains that were dog print, the white and black. But I never had like a big mural.
No, I never did either.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That would have been sweet. Mm-hmm. I was just covered in posters and comic book art.
I wasn't allowed to have posters.
And oh man. Mm-hmm. I think now you should track down all the posters that you weren't allowed to have that you would want of that time. And put them in, like, make a 90s Lily room.
Oh, my God, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Eminem on my wall so bad. My best friend down the street, she was allowed to have posters, so she had, like, the Tiger Beat magazine pages all over her wall, you know? And I was like, oh, it's so 90s and good. And I just wanted Eminem on my wall secretly. I couldn't tell anybody.
That's fair.
I couldn't ruin my reputation as a good kid.
you were the good egg amongst right. the, what, 12 people you graduated with?
Yeah. So Jamie's upset. Liz is upset that he missed the ceremony. And then, here's my notes here. Howard and Jamie have a conversation, but I admit I've zoned out here to a conversation down the hall that doesn't concern me because I watched this at work. But I came back to find that he asked his dad for the Turbo Man action figure doll. I don't know what else happened in there and all that. They had a heart to heart and he wants the Turbo Man doll, right? So his wife, though, had already asked him to pick up this Turbo Man doll weeks ago and he forgot. So now he's got to find one on Christmas Eve and not tell anybody that he's fucked up. Mm-mm. He's got to find something on Christmas Eve.
The hottest toy on the planet.
Find a bridge and jump because you're not getting it.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not in a time before Amazon or eBay.
No.
Or Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-mm.
You're fucked. Because you were around the age when Mighty Morphin Power Rangers became the biggest thing
mm-hmm.
since the last biggest thing. Were you into that at that point?
Yes.
Did you get one?
I had a doll.
Did you? Yeah.
I had the outfit. Remember the photo?
I remember the outfit. Yeah.
With the mask, and I had a red. I remember having a red doll. It was more of a doll. It wasn't really a plastic action figure.
Right.
It was more cloth or whatever, but I carried that thing with me wherever. Yeah.
All right. Because this whole movie was kind of written, inspired by the crazes of Christmas past, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was one, Cabbage Patch Kids being mm-hmm. another. Mm-hmm. There are videos and you know, documentaries and stuff on the craze that right. Cabbage Patch Kids were, and it was fucking wild watching Jesus. People trample each other for a child's toy. But Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was super huge at this time, mm-hmm. and I was admittedly never really into that.
Right.
I was just kind of on the...
It was kind of too young for you, was it not?
It was like right on that fringe where I was still into like geek shit,
mm-hmm.
but that just never grabbed me. I think I was just on the cusp of like, that's not for me.
Right.
So it never really latched on. I never really latched onto it,
mm-hmm.
but holy shit. Like my brother, who's a couple years younger than me, got super into it, and that's all he wanted for Christmas was mm-hmm. a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Could not be found, and there was no Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in our house that Christmas, and that was one sad boy.
You know, I don't remember having an experience like that where I didn't get anything I didn't want, but I didn't ask for a lot. I don't feel like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't ever feel like I ever had a disappointing Christmas that I didn't get I'm sure I did, but I don't remember them.
Sure.
So they don't matter. Eventually they won't matter. Unlike this film tries to tell us
right.
later on in the movie. Yeah.
I do find it ironic that the only piece of merch that came out for this movie was the Turbo Man action figure.
Mm-hmm.
And they have actually released it again. They released it last year. I think it was a Walmart exclusive.
Oh, really?
Sat on the shelves. Both years.
I mean, it's not that big of a movie. It's not worth it.
It wasn't, and you it know? Wasn't...
Out of all of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies that I've watched, which is all of them, you know, this is not the strongest, admittedly.
Right.
Yeah.
And even the Turbo Man figure itself, like, it never had a spinoff. It never had a cartoon.
Well, and he's not that cool.
Right?
Like, he doesn't look that cool to me, you know? He's not, like, a cool superhero, whatever he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's no Captain America. He's no Cap. He's no Iron Man.
He ain't even a Captain Power.
He.
Google it.
Anyways. Jingle all the way. Now we have got to start this series of errors in finding this Turbo Man doll that speaks and it has its gadgets and all that shit. But he's got to be back in time for the Christmas parade. Because he's going to watch the Christmas parade with his kid. He misses it every year, right? So we're on a time crunch.
We got to go.
On top.
We got to go.
So we get to the first toy store. We meet Myron, the mailman, and he's a little off his rocker, but he's not wrong.
Right?
He's like not wrong about ad companies sucking out his kid's brains. And then he's like, you're made to feel bad for not getting the toy by the woman that you're paying alimony to after she slept with everybody at the post office.
I love when they put stand-up comedians in movies and it almost feels like they're not reading a script. They're just doing their bit. Because that's what it feels like here. Yep. It feels like this was like a section of a Sinbad bit.
I love it.
And they just had him recite it in the movie.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I love it. I love Sinbad.
Yeah.
Did you meet him when he was here?
I did not, no.
I've interviewed him twice.
No shit.
Yeah. And he was the nicest. He didn't want to stop talking, and I didn't want him to stop talking either.
Aww.
Like, he was so great.
Nice.
Yes. But yes, I love him in this movie. I love that character for him, and it does. It feels like his bit.
You just made our buddy Marlon insanely jealous.
Really?
He loves Sinbad.
Oh, he's so sweet. So sweet. I'll have to show you the picture that I took with him that we put up, because my face is just lit up.
Oh, man.
Beyond belief.
You got to give me that so I can put it up, create some content for our social media pages.
I get it.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at
HSV Home Video. On the web at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. So we get there, we meet Myron, and they are both after this Turbo Man, which is the hottest toy around at this season, and it's sold out. And then...
So real quick, during this scene when they're in the toy store,
yeah,
everything in the background, I'm like, had that. Ooh, I wish I would have had that. I wish I still had that one. Like, I was just getting super nostalgic for all the late 90s toys.
Right.
And this toy store was basically just like a facade toy store that was built in a mall outside of the city that was more or less abandoned.
Oh.
And then they just retrofitted it to look like this toy store that was big department store. Yeah. And they also did that at a mall in Eden Prairie right outside of Minneapolis for Mallrats. The mall that they shot that in was in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. I've been to that mall. And it is a ghost town of a mall. Mm-hmm. That's why they filmed it there, because there was like three operating stores, and then they could just make it how it look however the fuck they wanted it to.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right?
Good for them. I like that movie.
That's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So then they are told the only one, there was one that just left the store. It was also, I love how they describe her. It's a lady in a fur coat in the middle of the fucking winter time. Right. Like, that's going to narrow it down.
No shit.
She just walked out with it. She picked it up. It was on layaway. So they find each other to go find this lady. They see her, but she drives off. So now we have a montage. We're going to have a montage.
We're going to have a montage.
So it's just of Howard going to all of these stores, does not have the Turbo Man doll. He is out of luck. And so eventually, after this montage, Howard and Myron get a tip. They've come back together, and they get a tip about some Turbo Mans at the Mall of America. So they go to the Mall of America, and they have, I love, what was that? The toy that he's got, like the speak and say toy or whatever he's got around him, the manager does. Like,
using it as like a PA device.
Yes. And he's like, we're going to do this in an orderly fashion. We have balls that are numbered. And I love that they're all bouncy balls. And you're going to get a number. And that's how we're going to do this. And of course, it's absolute chaos. People are fighting. And that's why I don't, like, people will do Black Friday shopping and all that bullshit. I don't do it.
Nah.
I won't do it. I'm not going to be around people doing that stupid shit.
I think it's calmed over the years because everything is online now, and they're rolling out their Black Friday deals earlier and earlier. Mm-hmm. So now the people that do Black Friday are just the people that, oh, well, we've always done it, so we're going to get out and do it. It's like, well, have fun.
It's a tradition. It's like, okay, well, you could, you know, just drink the night before and sleep in, but no, that's fine.
There's a Black Friday meme that rolls around every year that says, my love of stuff is like not outweighed by my hatred of people.
You and I to a T.
Have you ever gone out on a Black Friday?
Never.
Never?
Never that I ever remember. We were not doing that shit.
I've been out on two.
Mm.
Just about punched an old lady.
Look, fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I ain't doing it.
My dad would always go Black Friday shopping, but he would go at like 3 p.m. when everything is gone. I'm like, what's the point? And he's just like, yeah, you find some shit that nobody wanted. I was like, but why would you want? He's like, oh, it's got a good deal on a you know, fucking air fryer, a good deal on this or whatever. And they had a couple left. I'm like, well, what if they didn't have them? He's like, well, then I wouldn't have one. I was like, God damn it. That is Zen. That is Zen on a level that I could never hope to attain.
No.
Like if I wanted, if I saw an ad that's like, oh, we got these air fryers for $10. I'm like, I'll fight a motherfucker for a $10 air fryer.
Correct. I want to make sure I get it.
And if I didn't get it, I'd be like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. And I'd still buy one at like $100.
Yeah.
But then my dad is just like, well, I guess I don't have an air fryer then. I didn't have one 2 weeks ago. I don't have one now. Mm. My life is still the same.
Nope.
It's like, God damn it, old man.
I wish my brain could work that way. I'm too high strung.
Same.
Mm-mm. It doesn't work that way.
Like when my dad finally got a cell phone, I called him up like one Black Friday. I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just at Walmart. I'm like, now? He's like, oh, yeah. Like all the crowds are gone. I was like, well, I'm like, what are you getting? He's like, man, nothing. Like, what the fuck? What is wrong with you?
I love it. I love it. God. It's so calm and peaceful.
It was like nothing. Nothing.
I don't have that peace in my life.
Nope.
I don't know how to get it.
I wish I did.
I don't even know how to get there.
Like if I was driving and my dad was in the car, he would laugh at me for how much I flip out about shit.
Uh-huh.
And then the flip side of that is like my dad driving, I'm in the passenger seat flipping out about shit. And my dad's like, I mean, what are you going to do about it? Like, just fucking whatever. Turns up the oldies. I was like, fuck.
God.
Then I realized you have to have that level of patience if you were married to my mother.
True.
And then it all comes full circle.
Yeah,
I was like, I get it now, Dad. I get it.
He had an abundance of patience.
Oh, my God.
For real.
Yeah.
And then also to have an anger management child.
Right? Right? So much for nature versus nurture.
Right.
This is my little rage monster of a child, Jack. He's, well, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, he's a bit of a fucking cunt. Doesn't get that from me.
It's from his mother.
Yeah. You set me and my dad down. Someone asks, please tell us about your mom. She's a dirty fucking whore, degenerate fuck, hater. My dad comes around. He's like, I mean, you just got to know her. Like, no, Dad.
No.
No. Not how this works. In fact, my dad was with me and my brother at the Mall of America when Arnold was there. And I'm like, I'm geeking out, like trying to tell my dad, like, oh, we're going to go meet Arnold Schwarzenegger. We got to see him. He's like, why? I'm like, because it's fucking Arnold. He's like three levels down. Like, that could be Arnold right there.
Right.
I'm like, no, it's not,
no.
Dad. That's just a normal guy.
The shoulder width's all wrong.
Yeah. And then my dad, like, I'll never forget this. My dad's like, you know, if you met him, I bet he's not as big as you think. Like, what? Bullshit.
I mean, I that sounds so true.
I know.
That's right? So logical.
I've wrestled with that for years. I'm like, no, he's a giant. He was a Mr. Olympia, for Christ's sake.
He's a giant.
Crush a mortal man.
Well, you know, with all the movies that you and I have seen, which has been all of them. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, I mean, I think we can tell. I mean, he is a big guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
He's going to be a big guy. I mean, you've seen him on screen that many times. You just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, holiday shopping is, to bring it back on task, is just something that, like, I don't understand.
No.
Like, I don't get. I never want to be a part of.
Mm-mm.
If I don't have to be in public from Black Friday till like January 1st, I am not in public.
My motto for this year was, I am the gift. Okay?
Yeah, that was, I am the gift.
That was, I've said it too many times. My presence is the gift.
That I am the gift sounds like a really hackneyed fucking sermon that everyone is going to hear on Christmas Day.
Yep.
He's talking about Jesus.
No.
No, bitch.
I'm talking about me.
Yeah. Have you been around me? I'm a delight. Have you listened to this podcast? Being around me is a privilege.
You are of a select few. Where others envy to be. I'm the gift.
Yep. God, you should really take up preaching. That was good.
Thank you.
Goosebumps.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm so proud of me. I love it. Do you want to get back to Jingle All the Way?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Hold on. I got to make a note here. Here, you guys, hold on. I'm making a note. I'm behind the mic. I'm making a note. Okay. So let's see. We start fighting over these numbered balls, and they're bouncing everywhere. Myron maces Howard in the face. I mean, maces him in the face for this number. And then when he gets it, people start tackling Myron and the ball goes away. And I love that Myron is down on the ground and everybody's piled on top of him. And he's like, Rodney King, Rodney King. Because he had mentioned something earlier about race and things, but it was like, Rodney King. So Howard then has to chase this ball throughout the mall. And like it goes off of the railing and it lands in a kid's lap or something. She's in like a stroller or whatever. And then he has to, I did enjoy him going through the, like the jungle gym, like the play area. That was cute. And he gets accused of being a weirdo because he keeps going after this kid. So he loses the number, right? And again, it's just some asshole kid that we have to blame here for this nonsense.
Yep.
So then he encounters Santa Belushi. And
the lesser Belushi.
The lesser Belushi.
Still a good Belushi, but far less talented.
God, I remember we used to watch his show. What is it? According to Jim? We used to watch that shit all the time.
Yeah.
We watched him all the time. It was on a regular viewing.
All right. Did you have the seasons on DVD?
Do not have them on DVD, but I remember that being a staple. Like, I knew, which one is this one? Jim Belushi?
James Belushi.
This is James Belushi. I knew him before Dad Belushi. And then I was like, oh, he is the lesser Belushi. Had no idea.
His brother Belushi. They were brothers.
They were brothers? That wasn't his dad?
No, like Jim Belushi.
On Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, they were brothers.
Are you kidding?
No. Like, no, they're the same fucking age pretty much.
I always thought that was his dad.
That's not how time works.
Did I totally misread, like, history?
I think you did.
Really?
Wouldn't be the first time.
I know. For so long, I just thought it was, I thought he looked older back in the day. That's not his dad on Saturday Night Live? His dad was not the
Blues Brother?
Blues Brother?
No, that is not his dad. They are
That's
brothers.
That's his brother?
They were brothers.
No shit.
So if
wow,
he were
I got
still,
that one a lot
if
wrong.
If he were still alive today, he would look very much like James Belushi.
Huh. I had that one wrong. That's all I can say. I've had that fucked up for years.
Wow.
Jesus.
Here we are.
Here we are. And here we sit.
And here we are. Just wrestling with this one for a minute.
So this Belushi.
Sibling Belushi.
Brother Belushi. He's a Santa. He's a mall Santa who has the hookup on a Turbo Man doll, right? So then we go to this warehouse, which is like an underground crime network of Santas and elves, right? All the mall Santas and the elves, right? And they're dealing in these toys, and we get a Turbo Man for $300. I should call him a Turbo Hombre because he only speaks Spanish, and he falls apart. So now Howard starts fighting these damn Santas because he wants his money back. And the big wrestler Santa comes out. Who was his name? Paul White.
Actual WCW wrestler at the time.
Actual wrestler. And he comes out and we got to fight him. And I love when Big Santa accidentally punches Vern Troyer Santa and sends him flying across the warehouse because that shit still makes me laugh.
My favorite is when the Santa comes out with candy cane nunchucks.
Yes. That's really good,
That was
too.
Fucking wild. That I'm was like, awesome. Oh, I want some candy cane nunchucks.
That was great. And then I went back to Violet Night. I was like, make a shiv.
Right?
I was like, suck a shiv.
Suck a shiv. Candy canes are contraband in prison because of Violent Night.
So, let's see. So we have that happen. The cops come, and luckily, Howard flashes a toy badge really quick, like he's an undercover cop that's been working on this for forever. And I was like, this is believable. This is the believable part.
Especially for a Minneapolis cop.
Sure.
Because they're dumb.
And so he makes it out of there only to run out of gas on the way home. He's having a bad day.
That's not going well.
Not going well. And also, he pushes his car to the diner. He gets on the phone with Jamie. He yells at the kid. So he has that happen. That's not good. And then he runs into Myron at the diner. And Howard realizes that if his kid doesn't get the toy that he wants, he's going to turn out like Myron, who didn't get the toy he wanted when he was a kid, right? He's going to be a loser.
But he's still, you know, a postman. They make a decent living, make a decent wage. You know, he's out there trying to be a good dad.
He's trying. He's a good dude. He's trying. He's out there trying. So we get to our last chance to get a Turbo doll. Oh, what could it be? It's that voodoo that you know as a radio contest.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know we were going to get some radio up in this B.
I was like, I can't wait to hear Leanne's thoughts on this.
So they announced the radio contest. If you can name all of Santa's reindeer, you get a Turbo Man doll.
Would you be getting a Turbo Man doll?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen.
But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? I don't know if I can rest of it. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Did he have a very shiny nose? Is that the one?
If you ever saw it, some would say it glows.
Glows. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. Yep. Yeah. Rudy?
Yep.
Rudy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
They have a radio contest. Now, Howard actually gets through. Now, somehow, they're looking for, like, the one caller, and Howard is able to run over, and he's able to get through on the radio station.
Bullshit.
He would have never gotten through. And then Myron pulls the phone. This was a payphone, so he pulls the phone part that you speak into was different than the part where you punch the buttons to dial the number. Wild, I know. So he pulls the handset off. So what are they going to do? They're going to run a couple blocks down the street to go to the actual radio station to get the doll.
And I also, so this whole sequence I find to be completely unbelievable bullshit because, number one, he gets through on the radio station. Number two, when the cord gets pulled out, the dude working the diner goes, bro, the radio station is just like two blocks away. No one knows where the radio station
is. No one knows where a radio station is located.
Literally every person that I have talked to in the city of Huntsville is like, oh, where's your station at? I'm like, oh, it's on the boardwalk. Where's that?
Yeah.
It's in the city that you live in. I have no clue.
You know what I have to tell winners? I'm like, do you know where the rooms to go is?
Yep.
Down that road. You'll see our vehicles. That's what I have to tell.
That's what I tell. Oh, okay.
Ah, I could also say we're next to the crack motel.
We are.
But we're not allowed to say that. It'll tarnish our image.
You want
to
pick up your prize, get a great deal on furniture, and buy crack? You can do all of that.
Do you want crack or a prosty? They're both out here in spades.
Yeah.
Anyway. So they run. And I love when they run and Myron starts throwing out all the mail to make himself lighter so that he can catch up to Howard.
And then Arnold is just like pacing him, and then he like runs past him. He's like, I'm having a good time.
It was very jolly. So they Howard gets to the radio station first, and he like blows into he kicks the door. Again, all these radio stations are in such nice buildings. I've never had that experience. Like, they're such nice studios. I've never had that experience. I literally, in my right periphery on this wall, there are spikes exposed because the sound panel has fallen.
That's true.
And it won't stick back up on the spikes that are sticking out from the wall.
True, it's probably a hazard.
It's probably... I've bumped into it with my shoulder. Doesn't feel good.
Nah, it doesn't look like it feels great.
And I guarantee you, probably should have gotten a tetanus shot.
Probably should.
Jesus Christ. Oh, guess what? They're over in my periphery over here on the left.
We are recording in a studio that is literally falling apart.
And these motherfuckers got elevators? fuck out of here.
Right?
Jesus Christ.
And look at all that old-timey radio equipment. Carts and CDs. And shit.
I mean, I did like it, but I was like, God, it's decks. Beautiful.
Man, I hadn't had to mess with a Denon deck in probably 20 years.
Never touched those things.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Technology had changed by the time I got out of college and into radio.
I got in at the tail end of that, so I only had to deal with that for like a couple years. Mm-hmm. But it was stressful, especially if one of those started to stick or started to, like, you know, because you basically like put the CD in, which is its like specially designed case.
Sure.
You press it in and then it clicks down, mm-hmm. and then you just tap on it and it like pops back up and ejects. But if the spring mechanism gets sticky, it doesn't always do it. So you've basically got one song going in cart one, mm-hmm. or in deck one, and then deck two starts to play. And if deck one skips, you have until the song ends on deck three to get that shit sorted, or you're fucked. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Mm. Now, if it's any consolation to you, these computers just don't work, which means everything's down.
That's also true. Yeah.
So that's my that's what I got dealt.
I did have like, I'm curious to see what you think of the end of this radio bit, because this is something that I've had experience with. I'm wondering if you have as well.
Okay. So anyways, he gets in there in the studio and he's like answering the question and he wants the doll. He wants to get the doll. Myron comes in. He threatens that he's got a bomb, like a whatever. And we find out that that's not true. And then we find out the biggest piece of information at all. Silly, silly listeners. It's never the actual doll. It's just a certificate.
Uh-huh. He says on the air, he says, you're going to win a new Turbo Man exactly. doll. But then when they get to the station, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you misunderstood. Uh-huh. There's a catch. You get a gift certificate, which can be redeemed at a later date.
Correct. And I put here, I'm like, silly, silly listeners, it's always a certificate. Uh-huh. Rarely do we give you the actual prize.
One station that I worked for, we gave away a trip to Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But that's what was advertised. But the winner actually just got a check for the cost.
Oh, lovely.
Of like what it would be to go to Universal Studios, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so when the person won, and then, you know, oh, all the hoopla and all, everyone's at the event. Like, yeah, I want a trip. Da, 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 da. I was like, hey, come on over. We got some paperwork for you. Okay, so here's what we need you to sign. Here's this form, and then you'll get your check for like $5,000 or whatever. And they're like, wait, what about, I thought I had a trip to Universal. I'm like, well, yeah, it costs about this much.
Right, so you got to book it.
So you got to book it and find your hotel and do all that shit.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, could I just keep the money? I'm like, you absolutely could. 100%. Don't give a fuck.
Yep. Which is nice at the end of the day, because it's like, I'd rather have the cash, but also it's kind of like, I didn't win what I thought I was going to win.
Right.
Like, I worked all this for this, and I didn't technically get it.
The flip side of that, and because like radio got, radio and just other entities in general got a bad rap for this bait and switch type mentality a few times. The most notable was there was, I want to say it was a Hooters, mm-hmm. that had a contest amongst its waitresses or whatever. If you were the top performing, like bring the money in waitress, whatever, you would win a Toyota. And the chick won. Mm. And she did win a Toyota. A toy Yoda. They gave her a Yoda toy from Star Wars.
That's bullshit.
And she fucking sued, and I'm pretty sure she won.
As she should.
So yeah, she got, you know, like fucking bait and switched on that. There have been like hold your wee for a wee, where a radio station, like you can't, you have to drink water, mm-hmm. and not piss, and the last one to not piss wins a new Nintendo Wii.
Love it.
And the person that won damaged their fucking kidneys.
Of course.
And then turned around and sued.
Yep.
So there's, mm-hmm. always like, everyone else says, oh, how come radio isn't so super creative and you're doing all this wild shit? Because you end up suing people.
Right.
Because you did dumb shit.
We can't do that anymore.
No.
We can't have fun anymore.
No.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, to have this in this movie end up, oh, it's a certificate for a thing that you can get at a later date.
And you'll get it eventually.
Right.
Like, you'll get it when they come back in stock. So you haven't gotten anything at all whatsoever, especially.
And I thought about this. You might not have as much recollection of this, but everything, like, toy-wise, mm-hmm. that is super hot and you can't find it anywhere during the holidays in 3 months, it will be sitting on a shelf on clearance. Mm. Like Furbies, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, mm-hmm. Cabbage Patch Kids, Barbies, whatever it is, it will, unless it's like a super hot exclusive, like a Target exclusive, you can only get it at a Target or right. whatever. Anything else, I promise you, it will be sitting on a shelf.
Because we move on.
We move on, or it will end up at a place like Ollie's. Ollie's is so good. I love Ollie's. Mm-hmm. Ollie's, like when Toys R Us went out of business, everything that they didn't sell in their stock, they just sold to Ollie's, and then it all ended up at Ollie's like 6 months later at a reduced price.
Crazy.
Like a $150 transformer that I never found at retail. They had a surplus of them at Ollie's for $50.
That's amazing.
I love Ollie's. It's so good. If you have one in your town, go check them out. You're going to find some dope shit.
Support your Ollie's. You can get detergent cheap as well.
Uh-huh. And $1.25 energy drinks.
Yeah.
Get them.
Get it. Do it.
Fucking stop your heart. But be awake when it happens.
That's great advice. I like it.
Thank you.
That is good. That was good. It felt deep and also stupid all at the same time.
That is me in a nutshell. Deep, it is. But also stupid.
Deep, but also dumb. Mm-hmm. Deep and dumb.
Yep.
So we have this fake bomb thing. We have the certificate. And then here come the cops, because we had to dial the cops because these guys infiltrated the radio station. So we get encountered by the cops, and Myron does the whole fake bomb bit again. And it works this time. And they get out. Unfortunately, it is an actual bomb this time.
Which was a super dark joke for a fucking family movie.
It was.
Like, you get the shot of the cop picks it up. He's like, I was in the bomb squad for 10 years, and we've been duped, and this is nothing more than
yep.
boom. And the shot is of, like, the camera is focusing on Arnold running away from the radio station, and mm-hmm. the camera just kind of pans up to the top window, and there's just a little flash and an explosion. You're like, that's fucking dark. But then it does almost immediately cut back, and the dude is just like, he's all like charred up with like
right.
the...
Right, he's not blown apart. It's not that big of a bomb.
Right.
Yeah.
But still super fucking dark good. For a family movie.
I was like, are they really setting us up for an actual bomb? And then it went
and
off.
And they did.
And then they did. I liked it. I liked it. Oh, man. Also, I didn't mention this, but I really like this. Myron, when he apologizes for the first bomb, which was actually fake, he was like, I'm sorry, man. He was like, I've been stressed out since the whole Zip Plus 4 thing. And I remember when that started, I was like, what are these extra numbers?
Right? Still to this day, don't know what ours are.
I don't know what they mean. And I'll see the dash. Like, if I got to fill something out online, it wants the dashes. And then I'm like, fuck you. I don't know what these are.
Now you're at a point where, like, you a lot of forms you fill out and it will just auto-populate.
It will.
And if it does, cool. Bonus numbers. Mm-hmm. If not, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's going to be blank.
Sorry, Pam.
You're going to have to write it in later because I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been a pain in the ass.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The Zip Plus 4.
Zip Plus 4 thing happened. It was so great. So, let's see. They get out of there. Howard gets towed home to find that Ted is putting the star on his tree.
That fucking rapist.
Oh, my God. I know. It's essentially what happened.
Yeah.
He went and had an affair with his wife right then
mm-hmm.
when he put that star on that tree. So, Howard decides that he's going to steal the Turbo Man doll that Ted got for his kid, which is nestled under the tree. And I'm like, honestly, it's just, it's vigilante justice.
It is 100%. 100%. You're going to try to push up on my wife. Your kid's going to have a shitty Christmas.
Ted's a domestic terrorist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, 100%. So he goes in, he gets the doll, and he heads outside. But he has a change of heart because he's like, I'm just stealing from this kid and I can't do this. And then that gets him run over by a reindeer. Because
literally.
Ted hired, like just hired a reindeer for the day. Like, and then he's going to, like, put on some kind of piece of land later on or whatever, rescue. But he's got a reindeer in the neighborhood for the day.
I'm not going to bullshit you. It was hysterical to me when I was 16, 17 years old watching Arnold Schwarzenegger fight a reindeer.
Oh, so good.
It was hysterical when I was 42.
It's hysterical because the damn thing like just goes at him and they destroy this whole fucking house of him trying to get away from this reindeer.
And then at one point, Arnold just haymakers the fucking reindeer, just socks him in the jaw.
Yep.
just fucking howling watching that. It's still fucking funny.
I mean, how else would you do it? Like, it's like at some point you're like, let me just punch this thing and see if it'll go away.
Right?
Like, punching a wild animal is really funny.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't, like, in that situation, it's hilarious.
Yeah. In the wild, you're going to get devoured whole.
Right, right.
You're going to die screaming.
But when you try to fight like a man, when you're fighting a wild animal, it's really funny.
It's so fucking good. And then after the fight, they just have a beer together.
I know. That was so great.
It's like he's sitting out in the backyard just sipping on a beer, putting some beer in the reindeer's dish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do love when he sets the house on fire. He's like, there's a nativity scene, I think, in the house, and it gets in the fire, and Ted happens to see what's going on. Like, they get caught, and he's like, Balthazar. So, yes, he gets caught in this fight in the house trying to steal the doll and all this sorts of stuff. So Liz, this was kind of the last straw for Liz, you know, and so Liz and Ted and their children are going to go to the parade without Howard. And Ted tells him, you can't bench press your way out of this one. I was like, I like that. Whoever decided to put that line in there, that was cute. So they go to the parade, and Howard goes, you know what? This is one thing. This is one promise I'm going to keep to my kid. I will go to that parade, and I will be with my kiddo at that parade. So he goes to the parade. And parades are awful.
Yup.
Not only for the people element, but also when you work in radio, you have a different hate. Well, I guess any profession where you have to drive a vehicle in a parade, because once you have dodged children who are diving at you for candy and then they're meth-filled mothers, you hate them for the rest of your life. Like, I did a couple of those and I was like, fuck this shit. I'm tired of decorating and undecorating a vehicle in the cold just to almost kill a child.
Yep.
It's dumb.
We had a parade that our radio stations had to be a part of called the Potato Days Festival.
I mean, a potato's worth it.
I mean, don't get jealous, but I mean, it was pretty fucking baller. But it was in this small town, like right outside of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And the holy shit, did they take that seriously? They're like, you will be here in this spot at 7 p.m. for lineup or you're out of the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, I guess we're out. Fuck it. I don't care. Like, we're not, like, whatever. But I remember one year we were all lined up and we had this new dude that had been at the station for a little while. He was like part of the morning show. Hadn't really had a chance to talk to him ever.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first meeting with him, you know, where you got that radio energy amongst other radio people. Like,
sure.
You know what I'm talking about. When radio people that aren't necessarily at the same station together, like, mm-hmm. if you were to come in contact with another radio person, it's almost like they're putting on their radio persona.
Correct.
Like, they're trying to, like, outbid you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's me being funny. Oh, here's you being funny.
It's like we're still competing for ratings.
Right.
And it's dumb.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the vibe we were getting, right? So me and one of the other dudes at the station were driving the car, and he was walking alongside of it, like, throwing candy out to the kids, right? Keep in mind, first day I've ever met this guy. We've shared nothing more than a couple jokes, and they were nothing outlandish. It was just, like, safe for radio type shit.
Correct. FCC approved.
Right. This dude comes back to the car, grabs two big handfuls of candy, looks at me and my buddies like, I'm going to get so much fucking ass with this. Hey, kids, who wants some candy?
Yes.
I laughed so fucking hard, I damn near swerved and hit 8 kids.
That's amazing.
I was like, that's good.
That's fucking that's great.
Good. This is the level we're going to operate on.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Oh, man. So he's in this parade, and let's see. I love, you know, every parade has the host, like the TV hosts that are covering it or whatever. And it was the weatherman named Gale Force.
Like, that is.
And it's not even a woman. It was a black dude. Man.
Like, that name slaps as a weatherman, but you know that dude fucks.
Oh, for fucking real.
Coming out the gate with that dick.
Yeah.
Gale Force gonna give it to you.
I love that you as a grown man just said, you know that man fucks. And it was fine.
Right? He doesn't even have to try. He'll just go to the bar in fucking downtown St. Paul. Just be like, yo, babe, what's up? Gale force.
Sploosh.
Zip. Yeah. The wet front coming in.
No.
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 Whew. Oh, man. Jingle all the way.
Jingle all the way.
Anyways, Howard catches Ted. He sees Ted putting the moves on Liz, who then acts surprised that Ted is after her or putting the moves on her.
Bitch, you knew.
Winch, you let him in your house. You saw how he was with you at the thing. You let him bake cookies in the house and decorate and put the star on the tree. I'm like, women must take responsibility for doing dumb shit like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying people deserve things or whatever, but like, take responsibility for the dumb shit like this that women love to do.
Right?
Like, they just keep on. It's like, oh, I didn't know. It's like, really, you dumb bitch?
Mm-hmm.
Now you gotta pour eggnog on this dude.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you didn't have to do that. You could have shut that shit down a long time ago.
You could have been like, bro, you see my husband?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll fucking bend you in half.
She left, you know, a trail for him to follow her and then act surprised.
Right.
Get out of here. Whore.
Fucking tramp.
You fucking tramp. Back to Tom Hanks where you belong, bitch. So anyways, that happens. And then at one point, like, I think I zoned out a little bit, but Howard eventually gets chased by that. Oh, so the cop who gets blown up. And then the cop who, like, pulls him over early in the movie, like, it's the same cop. Like, poor Arnold keeps accidentally assaulting this cop throughout the movie, and this cop spots him, right? So he gets chased by this cop, and he ends up trying to get out of the way or trying to get away from him when he runs into people who mistakenly think that he is the replacement guy for Turbo Man in the parade.
Yep.
And they start suiting him up and giving him the rundown of, like, the actual Turbo Man, there is some sign of movement, like he was in a bad accident, and it's like we're rushing to, it's like, how did he get in the accident? And we suit him up to put him on a float.
I also love that Booster, the fucking sidekick, is played by dude's name is Curtis Armstrong. He was Booger in the Revenge of the Nerds movies, which I don't think you've ever seen.
No.
Oh, man. Booger is fucking awesome. We're going to have to watch some Revenge of the Nerds movies.
I'll take your word for it.
You have for 132 episodes.
Yeah.
Track record's pretty good.
So he gets suited up. He gets on the float. And he's on the float as Turbo Man at the end of the parade. And he's going through and he's like, I could get used to this. This is cool. And then he spots Jamie and he waves to Jamie, which would have been amazing as a kid.
Right.
If your favorite toy had, like, seen you and waved to you. Oh.
That would have been dope.
That would have been
a made childhood right there.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And then we find out that on the float we have a Turbo doll and we're giving it away to one lucky kid at the parade. And conveniently we happen to be near Jamie when this happens. So crazy how, like, planets align and things go into retrograde and shit.
Movie magic.
And then Turbo Man calls up Jamie to get this prize, to get this Turbo doll.
I like how
Turbo
the
Man.
I like how the two kids who are, like, friends for the most part start fighting over, like, no, he was talking to me. No, he was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's total kid shit.
And it's also adult shit. You and I would fight like that.
I mean, also accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
No, that's like, it's total kid shit. So he goes up on the float and gets the Turbo doll. Somehow Jamie does not recognize that this is his father.
Right.
It's not even like he's wearing an elaborate suit or a mask. It's just basically a helmet with, like, a visor.
Yeah. The big, like, oh, how are we going to make this seem not obvious? They put in a little voice modulator so he doesn't sound like Arnold, but he still sounds like Arnold.
He sounds exactly like Arnold. I didn't even understand how it was different.
Right.
So, like, how they don't notice it's him, it's movie magic.
Like, yeah, the next 20 minutes happen in this movie and no one has a clue. And they're even, at one point, the kid and the wife are standing, like, 5 feet away and they don't realize it's him.
And the wife doesn't know. And I'm like, that's why you get a divorce, because she's not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
She's not paying attention.
She's probably cheated on you like 4 times, didn't even realize it wasn't you.
She's been paying attention to Ted too much.
Mm-hmm. Paying attention to dick that ain't yours.
So then here comes Dementor, I think was his name, but it's Myron. Myron sabotaged the original Dementor, and now he's in the suit and he gets on the float, and now they fight over this doll. And they're fighting on the float. People think it's just an act. It is not. Eventually, Myron chases Jamie with the doll onto the roof and onto, like, a Christmas display, a Christmas tree that's on top of the building.
Which during this scene, we get my favorite line in the whole movie, because it's just the way he delivered it, and it's a throwaway bullshit line. But he's running after the kid, and it's in a parade, so there's people not knowing what's going on, mm-hmm. doing their assigned shit in the parade. And there's a group of people that are dressed up like nutcrackers and, you know, presents and ornaments and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there's someone dressed up as a wrapped Christmas box.
Mm-hmm.
And Sinbad just plows into her or him and knocks the person over. He's like, ah, get out of my way, box. And then just like keeps running.
I missed it.
Oh, my God. I fucking howled at that. Like, I would say that for years if people were in my way. I'm like, get out of my way, box. It's so fucking funny.
That is
like
good.
You need to go back and just watch that scene. Like that,
I missed it.
That
I think,
4 seconds, because it is golden.
Sometimes I miss shit like that because I'm trying to write something down and I don't catch it. Sorry, it happens.
I mean, it's not, you know, what it is, what it is.
It is what it is.
That's why you have me here for.
That's right.
You go, oh, check out this amazing 2 seconds in cinema.
In cinema.
Get out of my way, box.
I love that.
I'm going to tell you that I know he's had some health problems recently, but if he ever gets back up and running and like comes to town again, I am going to have him autograph. Get out of my way, box. Love Sinbad.
That's great. That would be cute. Gosh, I hope he does come back around.
Same.
Like I said, he was the sweetest. So because he's on the roof and he's stuck on this Christmas display, Turbo Man has to use his jetpack. Which is an actual jetpack.
Right.
Like, he's used his boomerang and shit, and now he's got a jetpack. And he flies around the city trying to figure it out. He just busts through a few apartment windows. It's no big deal.
I mean,
into a few apartment buildings.
Whatevs.
But he finally gets the hang of this jetpack, and he's finally able to save Jamie. And this is the part where Jamie and Liz are like 5 feet away from him, and they can't tell that it's the husband until he reveals his identity.
Pulls his helmet off and they're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, that's my husband. And it's like, so the marriage is saved. Christmas is saved. And the kid gets a Turbo Man doll. Until the kid gives it to Myron. Myron's being dragged out by the police and the kid runs and he gives Myron the toy and says, why do I need a doll when I have Turbo Man at home? And it's like, oh, if that was me, I would have shot my child. I went through all of that. I flew on a jetpack at the end of the day. I got maced in the face. I got accused of being a pedophile in a jungle gym. I almost was arrested by police in a factory of Santas.
And then you gave that toy away to a man that as soon as they're off camera, the police are going to murder that man.
Rodney King. Rodney King.
I mean, it's Minneapolis. You can say George Floyd.
Jesus Christ.
It's Christmas.
It's the day after. We're supposed to be somber.
Everyone knows it's the day after. You're somber.
Everybody knows it's a day of mourning.
Goodness.
So then anyways, this is cute, but I'd be fucking pissed. And then Yeah, I'd be like, you fuck that. Give me the doll back. I will destroy it in front of you.
Yep.
Before I let you take off with it. And then everybody lives happily ever after, and that's the end.
I think, yeah. Yep.
Do you think they get divorced?
Oh, yeah.
They eventually get divorced. 100%. Yeah, and it's the kid's fault, and he turns emo.
Yeah.
And then you find him in a bathtub.
Yeah, that kid's, I mean, he's going to turn to drugs in the next couple of years. I mean, that shit is rampant in the burbs, you know?
And then, he gets a girlfriend who does this party. And
goes end to end.
Goes end to end. Yep. I was trying to find the term. I couldn't remember it.
You like how I knew where you were going with that?
I almost said ass to mouth, and I was like, no, that's not right.
That's a totally different party.
That was on Tuesday. We're talking about the party on Thursday. That's end to end.
Yep.
That's what I was trying to get at. I forgot.
But we don't get that epilogue. We get, you know, Arnold hoisted up on the shoulders of the onlookers, and he gets a hero's ovation. Mm-hmm. And that was Jingle All the Way.
Yay.
There it was. I did not know this. I discovered this recently. There is a Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy.
I didn't know that either until I saw it, because when I was looking up Jingle All the Way, and I went, that's interesting. Not for me, thanks.
No.
I mean, let me just be real. I'm from the South. I will laugh at Larry the Cable Guy. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
I know.
That hurts.
But you know what? I haven't watched any of that in a long time. Like, that was in the middle of the craze.
Okay, all right.
When Blue Collar was the craze.
Sure.
Fuck yeah, I was in.
Okay. That's fair.
But I still do like Ron White.
I mean,
White's great.
He is the best of the bunch, hands down.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
He was the only one to me that didn't, like, this. That's just who he was.
Yes.
Like, Larry the Cable Guy, you're making that up for money.
Right.
Jeff Foxworthy, you're making that up for money. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, fucking whatever. But at the same time, like, Ron White is just like, I'm fucking drinking piece of shit, and I'm going to tell you some fun stories.
And I think he was such a drinking piece of shit that that's probably why they ended all that shit. I was like, I don't think he fit in anymore.
Right?
I don't think he was as family friendly as he needed to be.
No, I don't see Ron White hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
No.
But holy fuck, would that be a much better show?
Oh my God. That would be amazing. That would be fucking amazing.
That would be just a whiskey-soaked Ron White belittling a fucking fifth grader and someone who is not as smart as a fifth grader. God, that would be fantastic.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Love me some Ron White.
Yeah.
I saw him when he was here, and then he did, like, his set, and then he sat on the stage and just told stories.
Oh, cool.
And it was awesome.
How long ago was that?
It was a few years ago. I can't remember what year it was. Everything blurs together.
Was I here?
Was it like 2018?
Somebody like right when I got here?
Maybe
before, yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, he was awesome. He just sat there, just told stories.
That's awesome.
I was like, I fucking love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd hang out with Ron White.
Mm-hmm. For fucking real, dude.
Listen to some stories.
Shit, yeah.
Have a whiskey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we got on. Oh, yeah. I know how we got on. Yeah, I have no desire to watch Jingle All the Way, too.
No, none.
Nope. I don't know how you go from Schwarzenegger to Cable Guy, but I don't need to find out. I don't need to find out.
And like what I've noticed, I've known about it. I just it hasn't registered. But there are so many Christmas movies, like one off, you know, like a Jingle All the Way, a Christmas Story, whatever. Christmas Story had a couple sequels that I never saw that just went straight to video.
Right.
You know, Jingle All the Way 2, Home Alone. They made more Home Alone movies after Kevin McAllister's character like went away. And I was just like, when the fuck did they make all this shit?
I may have seen 2. I don't even know that I have.
All right.
It's just the first one's all I care about.
I mean, it's really the only one that you need.
True.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, that wraps up our holiday month.
That wraps up Christmas season.
Thank God.
We are on to a new year.
I am fucking done with Christmas. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move forward, give Jingle All the Way some stars.
I'll give Jingle All the Way like 2.5.
2.5. That's
like, I still enjoyed it, but yep. I probably will never watch it again.
Nope.
You know, like, I don't need it anymore.
It's until I rewatched it to talk about it today, I think it had probably been like 20 years since I've seen it.
Sure.
You know,
that's that kind of movie.
It's that kind of flick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the biggest line that I remember from that movie is just like a take, like a fucking, that line meant nothing, but Jack Spade fucking loved it. Like, it's, you know, I don't need to go back and visit this a lot.
Exactly.
But yeah, about a 2.5 for me as well. Mm-hmm. There mm-hmm. it is.
Nicely
it
done.
Is. Hands down, though, Violent Night, best movie of the season?
Hands down, Violent Night, the best. Mm-hmm. The best of Christmas season.
If you watch one movie that we've reviewed this month, mm-hmm. make it Violent Night.
Right. Of the year? Possibly.
Possibly.
It's really good.
I mean, that's the only movie probably since Avengers Endgame.
No shit.
That I've seen in theaters more than once. I can't think of another flick that I've gone back to the theater for.
Did you not go back for Elvis?
No, I did. You're right. I did go back for Elvis.
Okay.
I think I saw that twice.
Yeah, I only saw it twice in the theater.
Because it came to HBO Max not long after.
Correct.
And now that Violent Night is streaming, I can just buy it and mm-hmm. fucking watch it at home. Mm-hmm. And it's so good.
In the convenience of your own home.
I hope this podcast goes long enough so that we can review Violent Night 2.
Oh, and I hope they do it well. I hope they Same. Do it correct. I hope that David Harbour helps to build that universe that he wants to build, uh-huh. which is every holiday. Like, that's what he wants to do. Take that night and make like an MCU of the holidays.
Yep.
Which would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Uh-huh.
I
believe in you.
Come on, Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let us down.
Don't let us down, Hopper. Hopper's not done it yet, I don't think.
Nah. So by the time we fire up an episode next week, it will be a new year.
It'll be the year of our Lord 2023, my brother in Christ.
Mm-hmm. My sister in Christ, we have bigger things on the horizon in 2023. More movies that Leanne Foster has never seen.
Whoa!
Now, a lot of times on this podcast, we like to show you a movie where someone would go, how the fuck have you never seen that?
Correct.
We like to do that from time to time.
We can't help but do that from time to time.
Let's start out the new year with a movie
mm-hmm.
that people might very well say, how in the fuck has this bitch never seen... ...
Oh, no.
Escape from New York.
Ah, that's a carrot you've been dangling in front of me.
Oh, just a Kurt Russell-shaped carrot. Mm-hmm. Look at it. He's got an eye patch. Look at him. Look at him. It's Escape from New York. We're not going to watch it yet, though. We've got Christmas coming up. We're going to watch all these Christmas movies. Uh-huh. But look at the carrot.
I knew it was a loved movie by you.
Oh.
And a big movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to finally fucking see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You love you some Kurt Russell.
I do love me some Kurt.
It's another collab between Kurt and you're kind of 50-50 on the movies that this fella has directed. Because you love Ooh. The Thing, but you didn't really care for Big Trouble in Little China.
Carpenter?
It's a John Carpenter flick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll,
well, here's the deal. I
know exactly what you're going to say.
You know, I there's a lot about Big Trouble in Little China that I did like, but then other parts of it, I'm just like, I couldn't get into it, into certain parts. Like the basket men, I couldn't, basket hats.
It's unacceptable.
I'm so sorry. But anytime Kurt Russell was on the screen, I was like, love that guy.
But you know what? Like, that happened on like episode 10.
And you're still wounded from it.
I am, but we're also still here.
Ah.
See?
Yeah. You're talking like your dad now.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's good. That's good.
Fuck. I'll get there eventually, Pops.
We believe in you.
I don't believe in me.
Ah, come on, man.
My dying thought as I shuffle off this mortal coil is like, Leanne didn't love Big Trouble in Little China.
No, that's not going to be the one. It's going to be the crow.
Well, yeah.
I can't read all the shit.
Yep. I'll be in my hospital bed. I will leave this earth that petty.
Wait, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in your hospital bed. You're going to be in a room, and you're going to be laying there. And then all of a sudden, you'll hear this noise. And you will get up and you will take your IV stand over to the window and you'll look down and it's me with a boombox playing It Can't Rain All the Time, trying to avenge, trying to make up for it. And we just lock eyes and you just, and then you're done.
I'll give you the thumbs up and then I'll just fade away like Arnold in Terminator 2. Just by way.
I'm gonna be like, he knows.
Scene.
And as a single raindrop.
Yep.
Falls.
It's yeah.
I better get this radio inside. Caw, caw, caw. Oh my God! I'll hear just a crow. Like I'll just hear a crow, and that's how I know you've left this world.
Yep.
Yeah. It's your crow out in the distance. I'm sitting in my home next to my fireplace, and then here comes a crow, and it just lands on a tree outside. And I'm like, Jack's gone.
Yeah. But knowing my luck, like as soon as that beautiful moment happens, like a nurse or an orderly or someone will be like seeing that. And it's like, oh, that song was from The Crow. I like the second one way better. And that's the last thing I have to hear on this miserable fucking planet.
It's going to be a nice moment.
The second one was dog shit. Dead.
Oh, man. But until we get there.
Until we get there.
We got more movies to watch.
We got more movies to watch. Next week, Escape from New York.
I'm ready.
I'm not even going to tell you.
Don't tell me anything.
I'm not going to tell you
anything. I don't know anything about it.
Good, because you're going to get a surprise from this movie from an actor who you know and love.
Ooh.
And you're going to be like, oh, fuck, he's in this? And yeah.
Ooh, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll be back next week to kick off a new year. Same shitty hosts. Same shitty people.
Ain't nothing changed but the year, baby.
That's right. We're not growing as individuals. No.
Pshaw.
The only thing growing here is Leanne Foster's movie knowledge. That's it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
At HSV Home Video.
And also give a show sponsor a follow to our show sponsor. Jesus Christ. Almost made it the whole episode. Michael at Underboss Photography. _Underboss_photography. Follow him on all the social medias. I get to talk with him pretty much on a daily basis. And some of the ideas that he's kicking around for the new year are going to be awesome.
Okay.
Can't
you
wait.
Have not shared any of this with me.
We're going to be a part of a couple of them.
Oh, shit.
Not to go into too much detail.
No.
Eventually,
no.
We are going to make the Huntsville Home Video movie poster.
Yeah. I mean, it's good marketing, but I don't.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a shitty floating head movie poster. I hate floating head movie posters, so why not make one for this
podcast?
What are
you talking about, floating head?
Like where you see a movie and it's nothing but like the headshots of all the actors just superimposed together.
Oh.
Like that's like fucking bullshit movie poster 101. It's mm-hmm. like movie title, George Clooney, Brad Pitt's head, Robert Downey Jr.'s face. Like that's it. And that's what we're going to
do. Like the cover of Death Row?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It's coming in 2023.
Perfect.
Follow Underboss Photography and join us next week as we introduce Leanne to Escape from New York.
Woo-hoo.
Until then, my friends, happy belated Christmas. Happy preemptive New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you in 2023. Bitch, be kind and rewind. I wonder how long it's going to take you to make the first rape joke of the new year. Let's time it.
Give me 45 minutes into the next episode.